Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you this morning. Super glad that you're here. So now I have somebody to talk to. Amen. Now, as you saw on the video, Pastor's in Africa this morning. Be sure and pray for him and Pastor Brian and the team as they're traveling. Believe God to bring them back to us with a great report, a great testimony of what our offerings are doing around the world. Amen. I know sometimes it's hard for us to connect in our brain that I'm putting money or a check or, you know, I'm doing that digital thing online or whatever in an offering bucket on Sunday and how that somehow that that's transforming lives. But I'm so grateful that we have a pastor that has a heart for populating heaven around the world, with people from around the world, amen? And so the great, great video today from them and from the team, and we're going to believe God to continue to do great things through the Christmas offering as we're just coming off Project Rescue weekend last weekend. And so isn't God doing good things? I love what Pastor Wayne says. Sometimes he just, you know, it's overwhelming. He says, I just wish God would do something good around here. And yet God's just overflowing, doing really, really good things, amen? Well, my name's Tim Davis. If we haven't had the chance to meet yet, I'm the Connections Pastor here at Grace, and again, we're just super glad that you're here today, looking forward to what God wants to do in speaking to our hearts this morning. Just before I jump into the message, I want to take just a minute. The Bible says that we should show honor to whom honor is due. Tomorrow is Veterans Day. Today is the birthday of the United States Marine Corps, and so today we want to, amen. So today we want to take, I was hoping somebody would be in the house to help me with that, thank you. So today we want to take just a minute, honor our veterans and active military. So if you're here today and you say, hey, that's me, that's my history, or that's my present, I want to invite you just to stand up right where you are if you would. We'd like to take a second and just honor you today. Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate so much these men and women, their service, the sacrifice they've made so that we can be free and have meetings like this morning. Amen? Praise God. So we appreciate you all very, very much. Hey, have you ever picked up your phone and you sent a text and then later you looked at it and whoops, that went to the wrong person? You know what I'm saying? Anybody ever done that? Or how about an email and you sent the email and then you noticed, bummer. It was a different last name of that person. I attached that and that email went to the wrong person. I'm all alone? No, it's happened to some of you? Okay, good. Well, it can lead to all kinds of consequences, right? And that's what happened in this story I'm about to tell you. There's a husband who sends an email to his wife, so he thinks, with unintentional results and kind of funny results also. Listen to this. There was a Minneapolis couple who decided to go to Florida to thaw out during a particularly icy winter up north. And so they planned to stay at the same hotel where they spent their honeymoon 20 years earlier. So because of their hectic schedules, though, it was kind of difficult for them to coordinate travel. So they actually had to travel down south by themselves, separately. So the husband left Minneapolis and flew to Florida on Thursday, and the wife had to fly down the following day. So the husband checked into the hotel, and there happened to be a computer in the room. So he decided to go ahead and just shoot her a quick email. However, he accidentally left out one letter in her email address. And without realizing his error, he went ahead and, yep, you guessed it, send, it went flying. Meanwhile, somewhere in Houston, a widow just returned home from her husband's funeral. He was a minister who was called home to glory following a heart attack. The widow decided to check her email since she was expecting messages from relatives and friends. After reading the first message, she screamed and fainted and fell on the floor. The widow's son rushed into the room, found his mother laying on the floor, and saw the computer screen which read, "To my loving wife, subject, I have arrived. I know you're surprised to hear from me. They have computers here now. And you're allowed to send emails to your loved ones. I've just arrived and I've been checked in. I see that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. I'm looking forward to seeing you then. I hope your journey is as uneventful as mine was. P.S. It's very hot down here."
Church,
Check that text before you push send. Check that email before you push send, right? Hey, we're super excited for the next 3 weeks. We're going to be having a discussion from the Bible about heaven and about hell in a series that we're entitling Forever. So today we're kicking off this series Forever. Today we're going to be talking about heaven is real. And you'll see that in your message notes that the ushers just gave you. Next week, 1 week from today, Charlie Tuttle's going to be with us. He's going to be sharing one of the most amazing heaven stories you have heard in your life. He was here with us last year for First Wednesday. If you haven't heard his testimony, you need to be here. And I would encourage you, bring somebody with you. It is powerful. It will be a story you've never heard. It will be amazing. So be here next Sunday. And then 2 weeks from today, the title of the message, listen to what pastor's, the title of his message. Why I Am Grateful for Hell. That's the title. I'm not lying. I'm just reporting the information. Hey, you're going to want to be here 2 weeks from today. Find out what that's all about. It's going to be a great series as we get ready for At the Movies. So why are we taking this season to talk about heaven and hell? Well, it's really captured in our big idea for this entire series. And I've got it here on the screen for you. Take a look. If heaven and hell are real, then reaching lost people should be our priority. Amen? If heaven and hell are real, then reaching lost people should be our priority. Now, today we're going to try and describe heaven, and I'm going to use the Bible today as our reference point. Now, I personally believe that the one who put this book together is also the one who created heaven. We didn't have any practice, but that was a great place to say amen. I personally believe that the one who put this book together is the one who also created heaven. Amen. Amen. I believe that. And so I believe that this book then, Scripture, is our strongest foundation for our discussion. And I believe that considering what God has to say about eternity, about heaven and hell, is of vital importance determining its reality. Okay? And so that's why we're using the Bible today. In fact, it is really captured in a quote that I found from Dr. R. Albert Mohler Jr. Look what he says in his article, The Scandal of Biblical Illiteracy. He says, "We will not believe more than we know." I want to go slow. I want you to think about this. We will not believe more than we know, and we will not live higher than our beliefs, or will not live beyond what we believe to be true. One more time. We will not believe more than we know, and we will not live higher than our beliefs. So the idea here is that we have a foundation to stand on. We have something that we can hang on to. And so it affects the way that it affects what we believe or the way we think, which will then show up in our Monday through Saturday life. Are you with me? When the Bible talks about bearing fruit, it's talking about how you live day to day. All right? So when we hear the word of God and it grows, it's a seed in our heart, and it grows and it bears fruit, that means it changes the way we live. So what happens on Sunday ought to affect my Monday. Amen? Amen? And so that's really the truth of what Dr. Mohler says here. So let's move on. If we would ask people today, however, what do you believe about heaven and why? Well, I'm afraid some people might say that their beliefs about heaven are formed from a movie that they saw, so from Hollywood, or maybe what they read in a comic strip, or just how they happen to feel at that moment, you know? I've even talked to some people, and they think heaven will be a forever church service. Maybe you're sitting here today, and that's what your concept of heaven is. You know, you kind of see yourself in a choir robe, and you're sitting around just singing Kumbaya. And, you know, it's kind of good for a little while, but then after 100 years, you're like, when does church get out? Right? Or maybe you have, you know, seen that heaven comic strip or whatever, and we're transformed into these angelic beings, and then we're kind of, you know, have the little wings, and we're propped up on the cloud, just kind of sailing around through the sky, strumming our heavenly harp, you know. And again, well, that's kind of cute and nice for a little while, but again, after 100 years, is that really how you want to be forever? You know, I think it's important for us to look at what the Bible says, what the creator of heaven says about heaven. Amen? Well, I'm going to start today in some words that Jesus shared with his disciples when he was trying to encourage them with the hope of heaven. Sounds like a good place to start, right? It comes from the Gospel of John in chapter 14, familiar passage. Many of you have probably read it. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Again, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. He says, "Guys, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So, wow, a lot of information about heaven. Not only about that Jesus is building it and making it right now, but the way to get there. Jesus tells us real clear how we're going to get there. So let's start in looking here at some of the points and the descriptions that the Bible says concerning heaven. Here's the first one. Heaven is home. Go ahead and write that in your notes. Heaven is home. See, Jesus says, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. Wow. Pretty awesome, huh? Jesus is creating a place, a home, for the entire body of Christ, for the entire family of God. Home. You know, I remember a time when my family had been apart. Me and my kids and wife, we had been apart for an extended period of time. And then we had an opportunity to come back together. And it was just so good, you know? It was so good to have that time together. But I remember then, you know, that time came to an end. And we dropped one off at the airport. And the other one was driving a far distance. And everybody had kind of gone their separate ways. And maybe we were, I don't know, 45 minutes, an hour into our, you know, the separation time. And a text came through our family text thread, and it was the right text number. But here's what one of my kids said. I want to read it and get it right here. I'm not sad today because the place that I'm going is so bad. I'm sad today because home is so good. I'm looking forward to going home. Amen. Heaven is home. Home is a safe place. There's no place like home, right? Isn't that what Dorothy said? There's no place like home. At home, I can relax. When you travel for long periods of time and you get back home, there's that, you know, I think that's what that feeling in heaven's going to be like. Like when you've been away for a long time, and you get back home and you sit in your chair and, yeah, this is good. I feel like that's what heaven is going to be like. It's always good to come home, right? So it's a safe place. Also, heaven is a place of rest. You know what? I believe that, you know, when you've been traveling for in this life for a long time, and at the end, we will all be home. In fact, the Bible uses language like strangers and pilgrims and aliens, you know? And I feel like that's the way it is when we're here on earth. In fact, as followers of Jesus, there should be times that living in this world just feels awkward. Just feels weird. Well, why would that be, Pastor Tim? Well, because this isn't our forever home. I'm not home yet, right? We don't belong here forever. We're just here to work for a season. I'm here on earth for just a little while, but heaven will be a place of rest. Amen? In fact, an angel shows up to the disciple John, the apostle John, and he writes the description of this experience that he has with this angel and that he experiences himself in the book of Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 14, 13, he's describing what heaven's going to be like. The angel is telling John what it's going to be like. And look what he says. And there they may rest from their labor. I'm looking forward to heaven. Amen. We'll work while we're here, but we'll rest while we're there. Heaven is a place of rest. We'll rest there. Also, heaven is a family place. Home is a family place. There's just something powerful about spending time with family, isn't there? Here we are in November. We're anticipating moving into the holiday season, just being together with family. And I'll just tell you, it's a good time. I love being together with my family. You know, there's just something special about it. During the holidays. And what about, how many of you here, you have family members that you know have passed away and you're confident today that they're in heaven? Anybody? Let me see your hand. Yeah, all over the place, all over the place. Won't heaven be a sweet reunion with family when we get there? Man, I think about that reunion and how sweet that's going to be. It's going to make heaven so good. Amen? Heaven is a place for family. And I'm looking forward to it. But not only biological family, like we've talked about here, but what about our faith family? You know? People who we know that have given their hearts to the Lord, that served the Lord here on the earth and now are in heaven. Have you ever thought about this? I'm going to get to hang out with Adam and Eve for a little while. Noah? I'm going to ask him about that boat thing. You know, how was it for 40 days and 40 nights with all those stinkers? Think about it. The animals on the boat. Weird stuff, right? How about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Asking them questions, what it was like to serve God before Jesus. Wow. Moses and Esther. To hang out in heaven with Luke, John, and Paul. Wow. It's going to be awesome. Heaven is going to be a place we call home. Amen? In fact, I heard a story about an old missionary couple that had been working in Africa for years. They were turning to New York City to retire. They had no pension. Their health was broken. They were defeated, discouraged, and afraid. And discovered they were booked on the same ship as President Teddy Roosevelt for their trip home. And he happened to be returning home from one of his big game hunting expeditions. But no one paid much attention to them. They watched the fanfare that accompanied the president's entourage, the passengers trying to catch a glimpse of this great man. And as the ship moved across the ocean, the old missionary said to his wife, "You know, something's wrong. Why should we have given our lives in faithful service for God in Africa all these many years and have no one care a thing about us? And here's this man just coming back from a hunting trip, and everybody's making all this over him. But nobody gives two hoots about us." "Dear, you shouldn't feel that way," his wife said. "I can't help it. It doesn't seem right." Well, when the ship docked in New York, a band was waiting to greet the president. The mayor and other dignitaries were there. The papers were full of the president's arrival, but no one noticed this missionary couple. They slipped off the ship, and they found a cheap apartment on the east side of New York, and hoping the next day to see what they could do to make a living in the city. That night, the man's spirit finally broke. He said to his wife, "I can't take this. God is not treating us fairly." His wife replied, "Why don't you go into the bedroom and tell that to the Lord?" A short time later, he came out from the bedroom, but now his face was completely different. His wife asked, "Dear, what happened?" "The Lord settled it with me," he said. "I told God how bitter I was that the president should receive tremendous homecoming when no one met us as we returned home. And when I finished, it seemed like the Lord put his hand on my shoulder and simply said, 'Son, you're not home yet.'" You're not home yet. You see, everything good, I want you to think about this. Everything good that we enjoy on earth has come from heaven. That's what the Bible says. So everything good about earth will be in heaven. It'll be in heaven. The things that we enjoy on earth will be part of our forever home in heaven. Heaven is not only home, heaven is a reward. Go ahead and jot it down on your notes. You see, on earth, justice seems weak, doesn't it? I mean, at times it seems like jaywalkers are in jail and murderers are out jaywalking. I mean, doesn't it? I mean, that's kind of like the justice in our world today. It feels like that, seems like that. But can I tell you today, I came out here to let you know, in heaven, accurate records and consequences are tracked. This angel is telling John about heaven, remember? And in chapter 14, verse 13, look what he says. "And their deeds shall follow them." You see, what we do good for God on earth will follow us to heaven. Oh, come on. You thought nobody was watching. You thought nobody saw what you did. I'm telling you, heaven saw it. And heaven jotted it down. And you'll be rewarded for it when you get home. Are you with me? Follow me now. While too often in this life, good things done are overlooked, right? God takes notice. And in heaven, everything worthy of honor will be rewarded. The Bible speaks of gold and silver and precious stones as rewards for good and sincere work done for God here on the earth. Paul describes it this way in 1 Corinthians 3, 12 through 14. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builders will receive a reward. Heaven is a place of forever reward. Number three, not only is heaven a place of reward, heaven is a place of celebration. I want you to think of a party this morning. You got it in your head, Bone? A party. Think of the craziest, wildest, best celebrations of all time. You got it? Now I want you to multiply it by a million. Because that's what heaven's going to be like. I said, that's what heaven's going to be like, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says it this way. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Friend, what we can conjure up in our brain this morning does not even begin to compare with what God has stored up for you in heaven, and it's coming soon and very soon. Amen. We're going to go to heaven together. Amen. Amen. I want you to think about how people celebrate, you know? I mean, we see them in the media, on TV, and whatnot. People who maybe they just won $1 million, right? Man, they get all crazy. What about people they just found out they're having a baby? Have you seen those reveal things on Facebook? They get all crazy and stuff. You know, what about when somebody gets a promotion, a new job promotion, they're excited, you see them celebrating, you know, or the coming of a new year, you know, when we have New Year's Eve and there's a big party and the coming of the new year, everybody gets excited. What about when a city wins a World Series in Major League Baseball? Or how about, you know, when the NFL, when a city wins a Super Bowl? Man, they show these parades and huge celebrations when an entire city comes together. What about when the United States landed on the moon, an entire nation celebrated, right? I had the opportunity this past week when I knew this assignment was coming up. I started looking through Guinness Book of World Records. Biggest party ever. I guess the longest party ever actually lasted 56 hours. Now, on Earth, that seems like an awful long time. But forever doesn't seem like very long, right? How about the largest gathering ever? 30 million people, Guinness Book of World Records says. Biggest party, 30 million people. Today, I want to tell you, heaven will far surpass any party that the world can afford to offer. Heaven is going to be so precious. Amen? Now, we've been looking at some passages of Scripture from Revelation where the angel is describing to John what heaven's going to be like. But I want to show you a passage in Revelation 19 where John actually hears heaven. God allows him to hear heaven. Seven verses, so stay with me as we move through it. After this, John speaking, he says, I heard. So God opened up his ears and allowed him to hear what was going on in heaven. Can you imagine? After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgments. And again they shouted, Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who was seated on the throne. And they cried, Amen! Hallelujah! Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both great and small. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder shouting, Hallelujah. For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. Friend, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a party to me. I said, that sounds like a celebration to me. Amen? Have you ever stood at the corner? Have you ever had the blessing of standing at the corner of Niagara Falls? And you hear those thousands of gallons of water pouring over the edge and crashing at the bottom. John says that's what he heard. There were so many people and such a celebration going on. It sounded like water, like a roar taking place. Friend, can I tell you that heaven is going to be a party? John says, let us rejoice. Let us be glad. Let us give him glory. Heaven sounds like a celebration. Our Lord God Almighty reigns. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. Sometimes we just need to celebrate heaven even before we get there. Amen? On earth as it is in heaven. That's what the Bible says. We need to celebrate heaven before we ever get there. Heaven is a forever celebration. Finally, God wants everyone in heaven. Write it in your notes. You see, the Great Commission, this passage of Scripture that we call the Great Commission, Jesus challenges us to make disciples of everyone, right? That's what he says. Jesus gave us the Great Commission, listen, not because he's trying to build a large institution on earth. No, he gave us the Great Commission because he's trying to rescue people for eternity's sake. So I want you to get this. The church is the only institution that exists for its non-members. The whole purpose of the church is to reach those who have yet not heard the hope of Jesus Christ. So the greatest work of this life is to prepare for the next one. To prepare for the life to come. I want you to listen to the heart of God concerning his desire for everyone to go to heaven. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. So he's patient with us. He wants us to go to heaven so bad that he's patient with us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants us to be in heaven with him. Everybody. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, look what he says. God who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. My friend, God doesn't send anyone to hell. We choose it. We choose it. And I want to challenge you today, whether you're here in this room or you're watching online, choose Jesus today. Choose him today. And the heaven that we just read about and celebrated about will be your forever home. Amen? So according to the Bible, stay with me now as we close things up. So according to the Bible, heaven is real. And as you will find out, hell is real. You know, I remember growing up in high school, and it was right after my sophomore year in high school, and school got out and summer started. And as summer began, every Tuesday evening, I'd get this knock at the door. And there was a young man, a churchgoer, I called him, who went to high school with me. His name was Bryson Prater. And Bryson would knock on my door every Tuesday evening that entire summer for 3 months. And I have to be honest, I can't believe he kept coming, because every time he'd knock and he'd open the door and he'd invite me to church, I was not very nice. Let's just say I had choice words for him. I was not very nice. And I would send him on his way. And I thought, he'll never come back now. Every Tuesday, knock on my door, find me to church. I found out later that their youth pastor challenged them. Find somebody at school you think will never go to church. Start biting them. Well, that's what happened. Knock, knock, knock at my door. For 3 months, Bryson and his friends would knock on my door and invite me to church. And I remember school was just getting ready to start for my junior year in high school. And they were having an outreach, Pastor Ed, and it was going to be at the football stadium at the high school. I thought, okay, how could this be bad? Right? Being from Oklahoma, I mean, it was just all about football, except for when they played Kansas State. Ha, ha, ha. So I thought, this couldn't be bad. And really, I just wanted the knocking to stop. Just go away. Okay, fine, I'll go. And so I went, and as I sat in the bleachers, and that Southern Baptist preacher preached the word of God. I can't tell you tonight, this morning, what he preached about, but I know this. As he shared God's word, heaven and hell became very real. And I knew that I was not going to heaven, that I was going to hell. In fact, it was moving on me. And I started crying a little bit, you know, and some of my, you know, marijuana smoking buddies are like, Tim, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Finally, I'm just looked at us. It's not all right. We're going to hell, man. all right. It's not all right. At the end of the message, I walked down and I just simply told Jesus, I give up. I surrender. I want to go to heaven. And somehow in those simple words, God did something miraculous. And he pulled all the hell out of my heart, out of my mind, out of my life, and he replaced it with heaven. And my life has never been the same since. It's never been the same since. I guess what I'm trying to tell you today is the Lord doesn't love Tim more than he loves you, or you more than me. He loves us all the same. He'll do the same for you. He'll do the same for you. He can make you ready for heaven today. I want to close with reading one more scripture. It's not in your notes. It's not on the screen. I just want you to listen because I want it to be in your heart. And then we're going to pray. So far, John has heard the words of an angel, and John has heard heaven. In Revelation 21, John sees heaven. God allows his eyes to be open, and he literally sees our forever home. Then I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first earth and the first heaven had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Will you bow your head and close your eyes with me across this room today? You're sitting in the worship center this morning, or maybe you're watching online. I desperately want you to experience heaven with me. And the one who created heaven is clear about the way to get there. And even though Thomas doubted it, Jesus spoke real clear to Thomas and said, "Thomas, I am the way." Today, you're here and you say, "You know what, Tim? I think I'm feeling exactly what you felt. I need heaven in my life. I need God to come and rescue me out of my hell. I need to give up and surrender." Today, the Bible says that if we'll simply call upon the Lord, that all those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I'm going to invite everybody in this room to pray this simple prayer with me, because I want those who are praying it for the first time or for the first time in a long time to know that there is a family, there are brothers and sisters, there are people that will help them and encourage them in their walk, and they're not going to walk it alone, but they're going to walk it with others who have prayed this prayer before. And so if you're here in this room, you say, "You know what, Pastor Tim, that's me. I need Jesus today. I need to be ready for heaven. I'm not sure that heaven will be my forever home, but I want to be." Today you can leave this room confident. And so I want everybody in this room, if you would, let's pray this prayer together right out loud. Let's mean it from our hearts. Would you say, "Dear Lord"? Oh, come on, say it like you mean it. Say, "Dear Lord, thank you for preparing heaven for me. Today I come to you to prepare me for heaven. I ask you to forgive me for not putting you first. I've tried to live life without you. Not anymore. I surrender. I give you everything. I am yours. you are mine. Come into my heart and help me to live for you from this day forward. With your help, I will follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Yeah, go ahead. If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it from your heart, you're sincere with God, I want to encourage you to go out to the red information tent in just a moment when we get ready to dismiss. Stay with me. I want us to do one more important thing. Go out to the red information tent and let them know, hey, I need a Bible. I need resources to start this new walk with God, and they'll give you everything that you need. Secondly, the first thing that you do when you give your life and commit to the Lord that's important is you get baptized. That's what Jesus said. He set the example. I don't always understand all of it, but I know this. I'm supposed to follow Jesus. And Jesus set the example. And so as you heard on the video when we started, today you may have come to church dry, but you can go home wet. You say, but Pastor Tim, I didn't come ready. We're ready. We've been praying that you would come. And so we wanted to remove every obstacle. Today is the day. You should get baptized. If you gave your heart to Jesus, you prayed that prayer today, you're ready for heaven. The Lord took hell out of your heart and put heaven back in. Today you need to follow him in water baptism. So if you go out to the table there at the water baptism tank, they'll give you everything you need to be baptized today before you leave this building. You say, why is that so important? The Bible says that if you're embarrassed of Jesus, that he'll be embarrassed of you when you get to heaven. But if you'll confess Jesus, the Bible says that he will confess you when you get to heaven. This is my son. This is my daughter. Enter into your eternal reward. So you can walk outside today, stop by the table there next to the baptismal tank. They'll get you everything you need to get baptized and to follow the example that Jesus has set for us. Amen? It's going to be exciting today as we baptize people in water. One more quick thing. I want to invite the ushers to come if they would, and they're going to pass out real quickly a 3 out of 52 card. We're going to be done in 5 minutes, so hold steady with me. You see, coming in December, you saw the announcement in the video today that we're going to be having Christmas at the movies. Now, we don't do this just to have something to do and something we can put on the calendar. No, we have specifically designed this series to use the language of our culture, all right? Movies, media, to communicate the greatest message of all time, the hope of Jesus, like what I've shared with you today. And we want everybody to go to heaven. We want everybody to miss hell and to go to heaven, right? So what I'm gonna ask you to do is to begin now to pray for people that you're going to begin to invite to At the Movies. Now we have At the Movies invite at all the invitation stations by the doors out in the hub, so you can get those tickets today, those invites. We call them tickets, they're just invitations. You don't have to have a ticket to come to the event. But get those invitations today. Pick them up as you leave, all right? And pass them out to your friends. But right now what I want you to do, you have that 3 out of 52 card, right? I want you to write down the names of 3 people that are in your sphere of influence. Maybe you work with them, maybe you're at the gym, maybe they're family members. They're in your sphere of influence and they're not followers of Jesus. We're gonna begin to pray for them over the next 3 weeks. And we're gonna believe God to do something special. We're gonna believe God to use you just like he used Bryson Prater for Tim Davis. Knock on that door to begin to invest in them and to begin to invite them. And we're gonna believe that at the end of this year, my friend, you're gonna have reason to party. You're gonna have reason to celebrate because your family members, your neighbors, your coworkers, their names are gonna be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we're gonna be going to heaven together. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. You have the card. I want you to put it somewhere. Write the names of those that you're gonna be praying for. Write it on the card. Put it somewhere where you can see it every day. All right? And over this next month, over through the month of November, we're going to believe God to answer our prayers and for people to get ready for heaven during At the Movies. Amen? Will you put up with me for one more thing? Will you just reach right now and put your hand on your heart, would you? God, I thank you for your presence that's in this room right now. Lord, on behalf of this congregation, I want to start with me. Lord, forgive me for not prioritizing sharing the hope of Jesus like I should. Father God, I'm asking you to wake up. Wake my heart up. Lord, sweep away the apathy. Eternity is real and it's coming soon, and I don't want anybody to go to hell. Lord, wake up my heart with the hope of heaven and let it motivate me to share the hope of Jesus with everybody I know. God, we'll give you all the credit. We'll give you the honor, knowing, Lord, that it was your work. It was your seed. It worked in us. Lord, now I pray, set us to work to win the lost, Lord, no matter the cost, no matter what it takes. Lord, in spite of somebody cursing us or whatever it is, help us keep knocking, just like Bryson did. I'm a debtor to him today because he didn't give up. You didn't give up on me. I'm ready for heaven. Lord, use us now in the same way. In Christ's name I pray. Will you stand with me? Thank you so much for your patience with me today. God bless you. Pray you be in heaven. Before we dismiss, will you just stretch your hand this way? We'll give you the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and the Lord give you peace. I bless you in Jesus' name. Have a great Sunday, Grace family. God bless you as you go. Hey, let's celebrate with those being water baptized out in the hub today.